Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. I'm Robert A. Wilson with Cowboy Wisdom, NLI Radio. And tonight we're going to talk about artistry, poetry, and being an author of a book. We're going to open your eyes to how Uwe Poznanski actually opens people's eyes with her artistry. But she is so multi-talented with so many things. She writes books, poetry, and she paints. And if you ever go to her website and go to her blogs, you're going to see some very exciting paintings that open your eyes and kind of open up that inner inquisitor within you to expand your life. Without any further ado, I want to welcome Uwe to the show. Welcome, Uwe.
Good evening. It's wonderful to be here with you a third time in a row. I'm looking forward to it.
And also, you've got a couple new books out since the last time we talked, and you've done a whole bunch of stuff. You got a book called Home and A Favorite Son. And tell us how they come about, because isn't some of this your father's writings?
Yes. My book Home, which came out last year, is a poetry book and some short prose. And it's a combination of both my poetry and prose and my father's. So the book is basically in tribute posthumously for my father, who was a poet and an artist and a writer. And it was published last year to great acclaim. And then the end of the year, like the last days of December, my ebook for A Favorite Son came out. And so far it has about 13, I believe, wonderful reviews on Amazon. And just last week it came out also in print. And just today it came out also as an audiobook on Amazon. So right now Amazon has all three editions of this book.
All right.
Favorite Son.
And also, tell everybody what The Favorite Son is a little bit about and how it came to be.
Sure. So A Favorite Son is a story, is a present-day twist. It's as if it's happening today, but it's a twist on the biblical story of Jacob and his mother Rebecca, who are plotting together against the elderly father, Isaac, who is lying on his deathbed. And they're plotting together in order to get their hands on the inheritance. So?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I was disconnected. That's fine. So they are plotting together in order to get their hands not only on the inheritance, but also on the power in the family. So the way I write it, it's not a fairy tale. It's the power of the story is right here and now in each one of us in the ways that we know our families. And the story is being told by Yankel, who is modeled after Jacob, the old biblical Jacob, who is telling his take on the events, going back in his memory to his youth, to the youthful crimes that he committed against his brother Esav and against and the way he fooled his old father, Isaac. And we become very intimately engaged with every detail of his plot and every little shade of emotion because he, at the time, yearned to become his father's favorite son, and this is where the name comes from. He, on one hand, he's trying to fool the old father, but on the other hand, he wants to become his father's favorite son, the one who will get the blessing, which is so valued in families, the last blessing before the father's death.
And you know, the way that sounds, you know, it sounds like a fairy tale, but yet it sounds very alive with a lot of things that are going on today. And all through history, that book is actually a lot of people's lives, wouldn't you say, Uwe?
Absolutely. I mean, this book is about greed. It's about rivalry between brothers, which comes to a high point at exactly that time when father the old father is about to pass away, and
are you there? Uh-oh. We're having the... She went away. She'll be back. Things happen with cell phones, blog talk, and life just goes on. There you are. Things just happen in the electronic age.
I know. At least we can recover easily. Yes.
But anyway, but, you know, the thing is, is it greed, or are we just selfish and afraid to share with each other our wisdom, our wealth, and everything in the world? Do you feel, Lily?
It's both of that. We have so many conflicting emotions, and this is why it's such a challenge to flesh out a character that has all these depths of emotions, and on the one hand, he yearns for the fatherly touch, and on the other hand, he does it in a way of cheating him. So that's really the challenge in writing this character. And actually, the way that I think about this story, the story of Jacob and Esau is really very prominent in the history of art, let's say. You have a lot of sculptures and a lot of paintings that depict this moment where the father is on his deathbed and Esav, the older brother, is coming from the hunt back in the background, in, you know, small in the perspective, and Jacob stands by his father's bed with his mother ready to get the blessing. But in my story, the focus is not so much on the moment of the crime, but rather on the contemplation of the crime, what precedes the crime. The doubts, will he do it or won't he do it because of these doubts? And after the crime, years later, it's about the regrets that may set in his mind and in his heart.
You were speaking there, something really come into my mind, a question. Isn't it always the stirring of the emotional thoughts that caused the crime?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is about being emotional and about having needs and yearnings and about trying to cut corners on the way to them. I can read you a little segment that tells you a little bit about the beginning of regrets. And this is Jacob's voice when... he thinks back to the time that he sold, actually he bought the right of the firstborn from his brother, and the regret that he has about it. And he says this, Jacob says, "I knew it the very next morning, and I still know it now. My brother hates me. He has removed me from his mind, stricken away any thought, any memory about me. I am dead to him. The scary part is that being dead will not stand in the way of him killing me if ever he lays eyes on me again. It is an odd feeling. Have you ever faced it, being dead to someone you envy, someone you miss too, someone who knows you intimately, and even worse, has the chutzpah to occupy your thoughts day in, day out? It grinds down on your nerves, doesn't it?" So that's a little bit of his voice. And maybe a little later we can talk a little bit about the audiobook that's coming out, because the voice of my narrator does it a lot better than what I can express.
Well, I thought it was very clear, because in today's society, this book is ringing true when you watch people in their everyday life. I'm on your website, uviart.blogspot.com, and I got a question. There's a, right under Join the Musical Chorus, there's a painting. Did you paint that?
Oh, yes. Yes. And this is actually part of my launch event for this audiobook. Now that the audiobook is coming out, it's actually already out today, I created a launch event with people joining in from around the globe, and I have two activities that are going on in this event, and this is one of them. In this event, I invite everybody that joins the event on Facebook to submit photographs of themselves singing or opening their mouth in some kind of uttering a voice. It can be even yawning or playing music, because it's the launch event is all about voice, about audiobook. And I will combine all of their images into this painting of mine, which is a painting of a musician. And all his body parts are actually musical instruments, if you look at it.
And go ahead.
And I forgot to say that the other activity that I have going in my launch event is a writing contest. So I ask everybody to write a short story, 250 words or less, and the topic is, have you ever fooled anyone that's close to you, similar to what is happening in my story? How did it feel at the time? Do you have any regrets about it? Or else, have you been fooled? Would you like to stand, if only for a moment, in the shoes of the perpetrator of the crime, the one who fooled you? So in this contest, people are writing and submitting their entries, and I'm posting them on my blog. You can see my contest tab at the top, and if you click it, you'll see the contest. And then there's another tab that's called entries, and there I post the entries in the contest.
So oh, there it is.
Excitement, yes.
In the voice of Jacob's voice. Is that the new book?
Yes. This is the name of the launch event. Yes.
Oh, okay.
And the name actually comes from the biblical story, of course, because what happened in the story is that the father, who is blind and cannot see, and he doesn't know who is standing before him, has a certain nagging suspicion that the son who is standing in front of him is not who he pretends to be. Because indeed his arm that is covered with goat skin as a costume to mimic his to look like his hairy brother Esav. So the skin is the skin of Esav, but the voice is the voice of Jacob. So that's where I took the name of the launch event.
And you can go to Amazon.com/UV. UVI-POZNANSKY/E, and you can get to her author page and see all of her books. A Favorite Son, Apart from Love, Home, and Ropes and Separation, Tear. It's in a Hebrew edition. And you also had some help, but when somebody enters that contest, what will it open up for them, Uvi?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Could you repeat?
Well, when somebody chooses to enter that contest on your website,
yes.
What will that open up and allow them to do for themselves, do you feel?
I think it's an interesting theme to explore, because sometimes when someone is in a position where he's the victim of being fooled, it's fun, actually, to get out of your skin, to get out of this mode of being a victim, and to imagine how it is being the bad guy. You know, it's much more fun. We always love the bad guy, you know. He has a certain richness of emotion that is entertaining to explore. And indeed, people are submitting entries, and they are being posted on my website. In about a week, this contest is being closed, and then I'll post a poll where everybody can vote on these entries. And the three people that come out the first, they will be featured on my blog in an interview.
And so you can actually do your own some social marketing with you and your contest.
Yes, yes. It actually increases the traffic to my blog site because people love a contest, you know, and they love to see who, it's a horse race. But it's a very serious horse race because it's a serious issue. And on the other hand, I have, as I said before, I have the other activity which is more inclusive, which is not a contest. It's something that is created by all of us submitting these images and being featured on the same image of the musician. So I call it a course, join the course. That's the image that you saw before.
You know, and Uwe, but you're not only an artist, you're also an architecture, and you've been involved in town planning and a whole bunch of stuff. You was born in Israel, weren't you?
Yes, I was born in Israel, and my first degree is in architecture. And then I came here to the States, and I did my master's in architecture. And then I moved from Troy, New York, from Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. I moved to Michigan, to Ann Arbor, and there I completed my master's in computer science. So it's a kind of, it's like 180 degrees of change from something that is more artistic to something that is more engineering, let's say. But in my mind, I don't see the difference because even as an engineer, I am interested in the creative side of things because every problem requires this creative side of exploring solutions or coming up with new and innovative solutions.
And you got to have a vision to have the, even in building the building, you got to have a vision of the building. But how does your being born in Israel, being an architect, actually enhance your way you draw your paint, write, and be a poet? How do you feel they all three enhance each other?
That's a very interesting question, and it really feeds directly into my latest book, A Favorite Son, because this is a book that is inspired by the Bible, and the Bible was the setting of the Bible is in Israel. So it's really important to get the setting, this desert landscape, the sun blazing, even the tents in which my Yankee lives, and the nomadic feel of this whole story. For example, I can my narrator, whose name is David Cudler, and he reads this story in the voice of Jacob, and actually he does a lot of other voices in this story. He does the voice of Esav in a way that is illustrates how Neanderthal, how heavy and big the hunter is. And he does the voice of Rebecca in a way that tells you that she is a scheming woman and she has her own interests in this. So here, let me give you a little glimpse, for example, of the way that he reads the story. Let me just open it for a sec.
And while she's doing that, I'm going to tell you that you can submit your entry any day until Tuesday, April 9th, which is when the contest will close. And the winners will be announced on the last day of the launch event, April 12, 2013, at the Jacob's Voice. You can go to uvart.blogspot.com and go up, and at the top on the right-hand side, you can see contest, and you can enter in and get some, not only an interview, but you also get to network with Uwe and all the things she has going on. But you're also going to get to look at some fantastic art.
Thank you. So let me, can I play out just a little segment from the...
You play it out now, because while you was getting that, I was just announcing your contest.
Excellent. So let me start it.
Give me now. Well, no, I say, there are limits to my generosity. You'll be sorry, says he. well, what's in it for me? Do I really have to explain? What will you give me in return?
Give you,
he flares up,
a big smack.
Oh, wow, I laugh in his face. Oh, forget it then. He falls into some deep thoughts, by the end of which he throws his hands up in the air.
I'll give you something, he offers. Anything.
I smile. You know what I want. Then he had...
Yes, so this was a conversation between Jacob, who is trying to convince his brother to sell him the birthright, being the firstborn son, and Esav, who is his twin brother, and resists at first from giving up this right to be the firstborn, and of course then to get the blessing from the father. So this is just to, how shall I say it, to showcase the voices that my narrator has. He has so many voices in him that he can play a woman, a man, an old man, a boy, anything. And it's just amazing. I'm having so much fun just listening to the way that he tells the story.
You know, some people are very talented that way. But I'm on your website again on the blog spot. I got on one of your blogs, and it's On Me, Your Sin, My Son, and there's a sculptured piece down there. Did you make that?
Yes, yes. These characters have been with me for I would say, at least 2 decades. And so the first expression of them is in clay as a sculpture. So this is a part of it, 2 pieces. One is Jacob, who is wearing this sleeve. And the other one is his mother, Rebecca, who tells him, puts his mind at ease, or tries to put his mind at ease about cheating the father, and she tells him, on me, your sin, my son. Meaning, you don't have a thing to worry about. If this is a sin, the punishment will be on me. But, in fact, if you look at this sculpture, the way that she says it, she hugs herself, not him, and she's not looking at him. The way that these 2 sculptures are positioned, they cannot look into each other's eye when they're plotting. That's the whole point of this contemplation of the crime, that here is a family who lives in the desert, lives in tents, in a close-knit situation, and yet when they plot, you know, they cannot look into each other's eye.
And anyway, these books really intrigue the mind, don't they? They really capture the person's imagination and keep them interested as they read them.
Oh, yeah. I had several reviews coming in, sometimes one day after another, and several of them say that the story is compelling. Here's one review. This is a modern retelling of the Bible story of Esav and Jacob and the rivalry between brothers, and it does translate well into a modern context. Besides, all stories have been written before, good against evil, rite of passage, etc. What made me read on was the way it had been written, direct and compelling. And the word compelling really repeats itself in several of the reviews on Amazon.
And see, now with your background coming from Israel and the Bible, and the one book I'd like to be able to read would be the Aramaic Bible. I'd like to read it, but I can't. But you feel, with your background and your heritage, that gives you a deeper understanding of what you're writing about?
I think that, first of all, just knowing the Bible, because in school, they teach you every sentence, every word of the Bible, and they don't skip, you know, the more insidious stuff, because there's a lot of violence and a lot of sex in the Bible. It's a well-kept secret. But the stories are really dramatic. And the way I read them is actually without the religious overtone. I read them much like a Shakespearean drama. And actually, if you look at Shakespeare's plays, he used the Bible in much the same way. He, for example, in his play Macbeth, he uses the three witches, which is an echo of a biblical story with Saul, the king, who goes to a soothsayer, and she tells him his future for the next night, that he's going to die the next night. So just the knowledge of the Bible is really enriching when you write a modern story. And actually, for the readers, the more you know the Bible and the more you can judge the distance between the original text and between what my story does to this the interpretation, the more you can judge the distance between them, the more you'll enjoy the story. You can read it without any knowledge of the Bible and enjoy it that way, but the more you know, the more you'll enjoy it.
And it doesn't, you know, the book sounds very intriguing to me about how you can actually see the way they are and the way it is. But, you know, Ubi, you can write the books about way back, but really have people changed because we've been taught the same thing all the time? Overall, do you feel?
Do they change? Because
I mean, have they changed over the course of history? Because I still see the same things in the Bible today. You can just, it's just, you know, it's just a new thing. I mean, I just see it. And
well,
it works.
You know, it's, I think it's in our nature that we need love, that we need approval from our parents, and that sometimes we want to cut corners and to get to what we want in a hurry, and which invites these kinds of crimes and plotting and scheming. And so it's really a lot of fun writing about it. I think indeed that it's in all of us. We all sometimes enjoy fooling somebody else, and or we suffer when this happens to us. And which is exactly why we can all understand such a story. We can all relate to it. And it doesn't matter if, you know, if this happened 2,000 years ago or if this happens today. It's the same story. It's in our families. It's in our hearts.
And you can go to ubiart.blogspot.com and go to the website and look at the at the top, at the URL, at the drop downs, or the tags up there, and you can go to books, and you can get our book, Home, Apart from Love, Rope Separation Tear, A Favorite Son, Now I Am Papers, a children's book, and Jess and Wiggle, which is a paper book, and you can go to our website to the contest tab and push on it. And have your entry in by April 9th, and the winner will be drawn or announced on April 12th. And,
yes,
Ubi, this has been fun because what I'm starting to understand, there's a lot of, like, your books are fiction, but they yet have a lot of factual things to them that people can see. Do you feel that?
Absolutely. I think the whole challenge of fiction is to bring out the truth in a way that is, maybe it's wrapped in some kind of a costume. It allows you to believe that this is a fairy tale. But in fact, once you get into it, it gives you a certain mirror to look at yourself.
You know, that's the thing. People are afraid of that mirror to look right at themselves, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. So that's why the fairy tale allows you to do it in an easy way. It eases your way into it.
And you know, now, Ubi, we're down to 10 seconds. You can go to Ubi, UbiArt, blogspot and see it. Naomi, give the people some wisdom, and I'm going to close out the show.
Let me just give you the music for the show, and we can close it on that. Here goes.
Give me now.
Not that. Sorry about this.
No. I say there are limits to my generosity.
Let me do it once again.
A Favorite Son. Written by Uwe Poznanski. Narrated by David Cudler.
Okay. It was such a pleasure. Thank you.
And I want to thank Uwe and all the listeners. And Uwe will be back because I love these shows when there's artistic awesomeness on it. And Uwe is artistically awesome. And as all the guests are. But anyway, Uwe, thank you. And thank all the listeners. And good night.
Thank you, Rob. Good night.
Goodbye.